Welcome to the Ark Church Podcast. On here, you'll find all of our Sunday and Wednesday messages, as well as classes and special services. If you would like more information about the Ark Church, visit us at thearkchurch.com or download our app available to all app stores. Our heart for you is that you would live for God, grow stronger, and make a difference. Enjoy.
I do have a caveat here for the parents. I'm going to discuss something. I told the church last week I wasn't going to finish the prayer of Jabez because this week was supposed to be Invite Sunday. But obviously, we're going to push that back to the next week. And so I'm going to go ahead and finish up the prayer of Jabez. And this morning, we're going to be talking about keep me from evil. Now, I'm going to be reading a story from Genesis, and it is a story that has a male and female situation in it. And I just want to give you a heads up, parents, in case you're not ready to answer some of these questions, you might want to pause this and catch those kids with it a little bit later on. But I want to finish and talk about the prayer of Jabez, but I know you're sitting there and you're thinking, there needs to be a joke, and you're right. So in Arkansas, little country church, they were having church, little church out in the country, just about 100 people in there. And right before the message was delivered by the pastor, the devil showed up. Satan just showed up right there at the front of the church. The pastor ran out. The congregation ran out. People were screaming. They busted out the door. But one old man, second row, never moved. Didn't bat an eye. He just stared at the devil, and the devil stared at him. And the devil finally said, "You know who I am?" He said, "Yep." The devil said, "Aren't you scared?" He said, "Nope." He said, "Why not?" Old man scoffed. He said, "I've been married to your sister for 53 years. Now, you think that has nothing to do with what we're going to talk about, but actually it does have something to do with what we're talking about. Because as we conclude the prayer of Jabez, this part's going to be, keep me from evil. Let's talk about the prayer of Jabez. Here's our scripture. Jabez was more honorable than his brothers, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, "Because I bore him in pain." And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me, and that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain." So God granted him what he requested. We've been encouraging everyone to begin to pray this prayer, to begin to make this prayer, and last week we talked about writing this prayer so that it really relates to you. Bless me indeed, Lord, that I might receive the blessings that you have for me, that I might be a blessing, that you would enlarge my territory. And again, enlarging our territory, we talked about enlarging our responsibility, our influence for God. Enlarge our heart, enlarge my vision, that I might see more, I might be more. And then we talked about last week that your hand would be with me, becoming more aware of the power and presence of God, that God is for us and with us and in us. And realizing that, boy, what a blessing that is. And so today we want to talk about keep me from evil. Now, here's something I think everyone needs to understand. If you're a Christian, if you're a believer, you're going to face opposition in life. There's going to be opposition out there, especially if you're praying, "Lord, bless me, give me more influence, that your hand would be with me." Anytime you start doing something for God, don't expect that it's just going to be simply an easy road. And so as you're doing that, understand that there's opposition against you. Let me give you three areas where opposition comes against you. One, from what the Bible calls the world, or it calls this age, this culture that we're in. And it does not acknowledge God. It does not honor God. And I liken it to a current, that there is a current. It's like when you go into the beach and you may go in one area and then you wind up way down here. And you go, "How in the world did I get here?" And you got there because there was a current. And even though you didn't see it, it just gently pulled you away. Well, there's a current in the earth, but it doesn't pull you toward God. It pulls you away. And then the second one is your flesh, or your flesh nature. That even though you're a believer and all things have become new, that's your spiritual nature. But your body, a lot of your feelings and your desires, that didn't change. And your flesh will talk to you. It's January, some of you maybe tried a diet, some of you may still be on a diet. But if you change anything about the way you eat, your body will tell you that it doesn't like it. And if you decide you go off sugar, your body will tell you there are Oreos in the pantry and that you should You should have some, or you'll be lying in bed and all of a sudden your body is telling you, I want chips. I need chips and salsa. And so your body will talk to you. And those are kind of calm desires. But there's other desires that all of us have to keep a lid on. And then the last opposition is going to come from the enemy. You have an enemy. His name is Satan. Now, a lot of times people say, well, you know, Alan, I don't believe in a literal devil. Well, Jesus did, Peter and Paul did. So that's a trio that I'm going to stick with. And they believed in a devil. In fact, our scripture here talks about this. Peter was writing to the church. He said, stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Stand firm against him and be strong in your faith. Remember that your family of believers all over the world is going through the same kind of sufferings that you are. He says, stay alert. Watch out that you have an enemy, the devil, and he prowls around. I over the years, I've noticed that things change in the body of Christ. In the 80s, everyone talked about the devil. They were rebuking the devil. I mean, people were rebuking the calories out of food. They were rebuking and it really was a lot of devil conscious. And then, in fact, I talked to a guy one day when I was doing the singles, and he came to me and he said, I had a good job and the devil stole my job. I said, how'd the devil steal your job? He said, well, you know, I worked for him for 2 weeks and they let me go. I said, did they give you a reason? He said, yeah. Said I was late. I said, how often were you late? Well, he said, every day. I said, every day for 2 weeks you were late. And he said, yeah. I said, my brother, that was not the devil. That was you. And so a lot of times you see people, and we blamed a lot of stuff on the devil that really wasn't the devil. But I've noticed that the pendulum has swung, and we hardly ever mention that he exists. And so you have to understand that you have an enemy. If you don't think you have an enemy, then it's going to be hard to justify and come to conclusions of all the evil that's in the earth. But if you realize there's a devil and he is against you and he is against God, it makes a little bit more sense. Then there is protection from evil. You want to pray, Lord, keep me from evil happening to me. Now, these are the evil that, the accidents, the trauma, some of the things. You know, there's a lot of us that can say that the Lord has protected us from things. I'm convinced when we get to heaven, we're going to talk with our angel who's been with us. You say, well, I don't believe in angels. You better, because we need help. But he's probably going to show us all of the areas where he bailed us out of problems. When I was just new to the Lord, I was selling books and I was in Illinois, and a nice couple let me borrow their car. It was a manual shift, and I borrowed the car to deliver all the books I'd sold. And I'm driving down a 2-lane road, and a car pulls out in front of me, an old car. You could tell nothing hardly worked on it. And it was dusk, it was starting to rain, it was slick. And all of a sudden I realized that car had stopped and was trying to make a left turn. The cars were coming in the other lane, and I hit the brakes, and the car went into a skid. And it went to a skid, and I remember that all of a sudden the front of the car is going this way, but we're still going sideways, and I'm still going towards the back end of that car. I said a very simple prayer. Jesus. And the car straightened out, went on the shoulder, and then came back out right in front of the other car. Now, I'm a good driver, but I'm not that good. And I just remember every hair on my arm just and head stood up. But that was the one time I knew that there was angelic protection there. And so protect us from evil is a great prayer to pray. And then also keep us from doing evil. Keep us from committing. And that's kind of the point I really want to focus on today, to help us stay out of committing evil, committing sin. I want to talk about a guy in the scriptures who is, the Bible talks about him a lot. He's a highly charactered guy. His name is Joseph. Genesis devotes a few chapters to him. And whenever you see the Bible devote chapters to someone, there's someone to pay attention to. He was part of Jacob's 12, he had 12 brothers. There were 12 of them. He was the favorite of his dad. His dad gave him a beautiful coat, had many colors, and man, it made the other. You can imagine, if you've grown up with brothers, I didn't have one. Joy's convinced if I'd had one, I'd have killed him. But I didn't have brothers. But if you had brothers, brothers can just be naturally competitive and just naturally. So 12 of them with like, I think, four different mothers in the process. And then everyone's jockeying for dad's. So bad situation. Put it. And then Joseph had a dream, had two dreams from the Lord, shared them with his brothers. But both of them involved his brothers bowing down to him and showing some servitude to him. And that didn't go over big, and to the point that they wanted to kill him. And then they decided, in fact, they had him like in a, was it a ditch or a well? They had him where he couldn't get out. And they said, well, we could kill him. But then they saw some traders coming, and they said, well, why don't we sell him? We can make money. So they sold him, and he winds up in Egypt, and he's bought by a man named Potiphar, who was the captain of the king's guard. And when Potiphar bought him, there's always a phrase you want to look at with Joseph. It says, but the Lord was with him. Joseph winds up in some tough places, but the Lord was with him. And the good news is, wherever you are, maybe you're in not such a good situation, but if God's with you, you can come out of this. And Joseph was blessed as a slave. In fact, he was so blessed as a slave that Potiphar recognized God's blessings on Potiphar's household. He put everything under Joseph's charge. He put him in charge of everything, because everything Joseph did, he did a great job. And so let's read the story of Joseph. That's his background. So Potiphar gave Joseph complete administrative responsibility over everything he owned. With Joseph there, he didn't worry about a thing except what kind of food to eat. Joseph was a very handsome and well-built young man, and Potiphar's wife soon began to look at him lustfully. "Come and sleep with me," she demanded. But Joseph refused. "Look," he told her, "my master trusts me with everything in his entire household. No one here has more authority than I do. He's held back nothing from me except you because you're his wife. How could I do such a wicked thing? It would be a great sin against God." She kept putting pressure on Joseph day after day, but he refused to sleep with her, and he kept out of her way as much as possible. One day, however, no one else was around when he went in to do his work. She came and grabbed him by his cloak and demanded, "Come on, sleep with me." And Joseph tore himself away, but he left his cloak in her hand as he ran from the house. Joseph is a young man that said no to the pressure to sin. A lot of times when you sense that pressure, it's not the Lord. It's the pressure that can come from your flesh. It's the pressure that can come from the enemy. And here was a lady who was simply trying to tempt Joseph. Now, you say, well, that wasn't a temptation. Well, you don't know that, but I do know he was young and single. And so if you're young and single and a man, it was a temptation. And yet he continued to refuse her, which was great. He refused her. He wouldn't do anything. Joseph realized and he recognized what would happen if he gave in to sin. This is a lot of times where the people who have great falls, if you talk to them, they never played the movie before. They never realized what's going to happen down the road if I do this. And Joseph said, he told her, he said, I'm in charge of everything. He had a great level of trust that Potiphar had given to him. And he did not want to violate that trust because it would torch that relationship. A lot of times people don't realize when they commit something, it doesn't just affect them, it affects the people around them. And Joseph had a great respect for God. He said, I can't do this thing and sin against God. This would be wicked. This would be a sin against God. It tells us a couple of things about Joseph. He had a fear, he had a reverence for God. And he recognized that God was the one who had kept him and protected him and blessed him, even as a slave. And so he wasn't going to do anything about that. And so Joseph did something actually very smart. He stayed away from Potiphar's wife as much as he could. And then when she ratcheted up the pressure, he ran away. Now, if you read the rest of the story, obviously it does not turn out well for Joseph, but he did this. He did not commit evil. She lied about it, but he didn't commit the evil. But what he did gives us some good ideas as we're praying, Lord, keep me from evil, then there's some things that we can do and some things we can ask God to help us with to stay out of evil. Here's the first one, right here. A prayer for God to keep you from evil. Make me more aware of the evil that exists. Make me more aware. A lot of times people are just, they're simply not aware, and they're not acting. You know, and again, we don't want to become overly devil conscious, but we don't want to act like it's not a clear and present danger in our lives now. Wednesday night we were talking, and I was sharing with the Wednesday night group about a situation that happened with when I was the singles pastor at Lakewood. And I'm in my 20s. Joy and I had been married a couple of years. And a lady asked to speak with me, and a young girl, she's a young girl, she asked to speak with me. And I said, sure. And we had a room in the back. I said, there's a room back there. And it was really a storeroom. But she went back there, and I brought Joy with me. But Joy was right behind me. So I walked into the room, and she saw me, and she brightened up, and she saw Joy, and her faith fell. And she didn't want to talk. It shut down. And I realized that was an attempt by the enemy. And I told the Wednesday night group, I said, hey, I still have to be aware of that. Well, they laughed because I'm not in my 20s anymore. But here's the danger of that, guys. If I don't think I'm not subject to it, that's how falls happen. And so people who think, oh, I'm beyond that, or that's, I'm not, I'm married now, or that's not an issue for me, that's a dangerous place. That is because you still have a flesh nature. And I, even though I'm in my 60s, I'm still alive. And still, you say, well, no one's coming after you. Well, you don't know that. But if they are, they're going to hit a hard no. And so Jesus said something along these lines, I think that's actually very helpful, and it's good for us. He said, keep watch and pray so that you will not give in to temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak. The spirit is willing, the body is weak. And you got to understand that in the context of your life, and you're like, well, my intentions are good, but you still have to be alert. And you have to be alert to the things that could cause you to slip, that could cause you to commit evil. So we're praying, we're asking God, keep us from evil, but make me more aware. And I think one of the things is make me alert to if something's coming my way. Make me alert if there's somebody making advances toward me that shouldn't be. Make me alert to if I find myself attractive. Lord, make me alert. Help me, catch me in this. But if you're alert and you're praying, you're going to be a lot more alert out there and you're on guard. I've always noticed that when our veterans would come back from Iraq or Iran, I've always noticed when they came back, there was always a high level of alertness in these guys. They would come back and their head is still on a swivel because they were in a dangerous environment, and they come back into an environment like, and we're just thinking, no, this is, we're good, we're in Conroe, we're in great shape. But they came from a dangerous environment. And so I'm not saying that we just have to be hyper devil conscious, but we still have to be alert that we live in an environment that is not going to push God, and it's not going to encourage godliness. And so this is an area to be careful of. So make me more alert. Here's another one. Help me develop more. Help me develop more in the fear of God. The fear of the Lord. That's that's something that I think people get confused about. And they'll say things like, well, me and God are tight, me and God are good. We're talking about a reverence and a respect mm-hmm. for God that is something that you don't want to disappoint Him. I've heard people say, I wasn't spanked a lot as a child. All my dad had to do was look at me with a level of disappointment. That was worse than anything. And so that doesn't apply to Matt. But the idea is out of reverence and respect for the Lord, out of a desire to walk in reverence of Him. This is why, and I keep, it's a pet peeve of mine, when I hear people refer to God as the big guy or the guy upstairs, I want to back that up and go, no, He's not the big guy, and He's not the man upstairs. He's a holy, awesome, powerful God. He's the creator of the universe, and He is worthy of our respect, and He's the one who has helped us and blessed us and enlarged our territory. We're praying these things. He's the one who does this. And so He's the one that we're going to be more aware of. And He's the one that we don't want to violate that trust. There's an interesting verse in Proverbs, and it's a good one. It said, unfailing love and faithfulness make atonement for sin. But this is what I want you to see. By fearing the Lord, people avoid evil. By having such a respect for the Lord and having such a reverence for Him, it becomes easier to say no. It's easier for me to say no. I'm going to depart from evil. I'm going to depart from sin because I have such a respect for God. I was dealing with some things one time, and I just, it wasn't a vision, but I just could see Jesus at the cross and saw blood dripping. And I'm like, can't do it. I have too much respect for what He's done. Developing in the fear of God, that's something we can all listen. I'm praying that. You can pray that. Developing in the fear. There's a lot of really good things that come with the fear of the Lord. In fact, the Bible said the angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear Him and delivers them. So inside of the fear of God is for the protection of God. So we're praying, Lord, help me. Help me develop in the fear of God. Here's the third one. Give me the strength to stay away and to run away from evil. To stay away and to run away. Now this is a whole nother message, but let me start with the first one. Stay away in your thoughts. So much of the time when people have done something and they've done something wrong, you hear them say like, I don't know what happened. I know what happened. I can almost promise you what happened. They went there in their mind before they went there with their body. They went there in their mind before they went there with their time. And so in your thoughts, and this is, here's the deal. No one knows what you're thinking. Yeah, I heard a man say one time, if our minds were a TV screen and that you could see everything that was going on in our minds, someone says often it's on channel me, and it's all about me and what's going on with me and what's happening with me. But we can't see that. Now, we might read your face, and if you've got a nasty look on your face, we tell obviously you're not thinking good thoughts. But we can't see what's going on in your mind, but your thoughts are what you have to watch for the most. And that's another message. I'll do some things on that. I think it's one of the keys. The scripture said to be carnally minded or fleshly minded is death. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. And in your thoughts, when you recognize that your thoughts are going in a wrong direction, catch them, stop them, run away. There was a time, just a number of years ago, when I realized that my thoughts were going in the wrong direction. And then I recognized what the reasoning was. You keep going that way in your thoughts, and it makes it easier to live that out. And so don't do it. Just when you recognize your thoughts are wrong, just say, Lord, help me, forgive me, and run away from them. Second one is stay away from the things that trip you up. You know, I've heard people say, you know, I was involved in alcohol. I was involved in alcohol and drugs, and I want to reach my buddies. And I went back, you know, into the club scene to reach them. No. Don't do that, because that's an environment that's going to be harder for you to resist. If the Lord has helped you and you're free or you're working on being free from that, do not go there. I always tell people, you're going to witness to them, do it on your turf, your time, your turf, not their turf. And because it's harder. Well, you know this. They said it's easier to resist if you want, let's say you want to kick sugar or get off sugar. It's easier to resist sugar if you don't have it, cookies and candy and all that in your pantry. If it's not there, it doesn't take as much willpower to resist it. And so if you begin to stay away from some of these things, boy, that will help you. And so the things that trip you up, if you get tripped up with the computer, then put some guards on that, or don't look at it past a certain time. I realize this. You say, well, Alan, you could say that on camera. We're not here. Well, I got people here, and so I'm talking to them too. But I know this is where we live, and if you can stay away from that and run away from that, boy, that would be so much better. And here's the last one. Run to the Lord. When you're praying, Lord, give me the strength to stay away and to run away. Now, this is where I think a lot of times people get very much embarrassed, and they don't want to tell the Lord what they're dealing with or what their thoughts are, what they're tempted with. It's not a sin to be tempted. It's a sin to give in to it. And so if you're feeling tempted, you feel the pressure, one of the best things to do is to run to Him. I think a lot of times people think that God's going to be so disgusted when you come to Him and go, I can't believe you would have that problem. But I will show you a scripture that's such a helpful one to me. This is in Hebrews. So then, since we have a great high priest, a high priest that was talking about the high priest ministry of Jesus, who has entered heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to what we believe. This high priest of ours understands our weaknesses, for he faced all the same testings we did, yet he did not sin. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive His mercy, and we will find grace to help us when we need it most. When you're being pressured, when you're being tempted, when you just feel like, man, I don't feel like I can handle, that's the time to go boldly to the throne of grace. That's not the throne of judgment. That's not the throne of punishment. It's the throne of grace. And if you will run to grace, you've got to thank God we've got a Lord who understands, who is tempted just as we are, who understands human weaknesses. That's the beauty of God sent Jesus, and He dealt with the very same things that we deal with, has some of the same feelings, never sinned. And so you go to Him when you're feeling this way, say, Lord, I'll help you. He's not going to kick you out. He's not going to reject you. He's not going to turn you down. He is there to give you grace when you need it. And boy, when you're being tempted is when you need it most. Oh, and by the way, it's not when He finds out about it. It's when you go to Him. He already knows. But He's already got the grace to help you be there. So as we're praying, Lord, that You would bless me indeed, that I might receive Your blessings in my life, everything that You've ordained for me to have, I might receive it. Pray, Lord, that You would enlarge my territory, that my responsibility, my influence for You, that You would enlarge my heart, that I can be more, my vision, that I can see more. Lord, that I might be more aware of Your power and presence in my life. You're powerful. You are so good. You're for me. You're with me. You live in me by Your Holy Spirit. And Lord, that You would help me be aware of the evil out there. Help me develop in the fear of the Lord. Help me run away and stay away from evil so that I don't cause pain. I don't cause pain in my life. I don't cause pain in the lives of the ones that I love. That's a prayer God will answer. God granted it to Jabez. He'll grant it to you. Let's take a moment and pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You. I thank You, Father, for these here and for those who are watching on this cold Sunday morning. And I thank You, Lord, that You know what's going on in their lives. You care for them. You want to see them live a life that You can bless and strengthen and encourage, a life that has influence. And so, Father, I thank You that You help us. I pray, Lord, that You would keep us from evil. Make us aware of it. Give us wisdom and strength to walk away from it. Thank You for being there and understanding. Thank You for the throne of grace that we can come to, that we can receive You, that we can receive Your help when we need it most. Now, I don't ever want to end a service without praying for those of you who are watching, and maybe you're saying, you know what, Alan, I've been away from God, or you know what, I don't even know that I have a relationship with Jesus. I've never asked Him to be the Lord and Savior of my life, so I want to do that. So we're going to pray this prayer here. I got some good folks here with me. We're going to pray this prayer, but you just join us. If you're by yourself, pray it out loud. If you're with other people, you can pray it quietly, but pray this with us. Say, Dear God, I know mankind needs a Savior. I know I can't save myself. Jesus, I believe You're the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross for my sins.
I believe you died on the cross for my sins.
And God raised you from the dead.
And God raised you from the dead.
Right now.
Right now.
I confess you.
As my Lord.
As my Savior.
As my Savior.
As the one who forgives me.
And restores me.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
My past is forgiven.
I have a relationship with you.
I'm a new creation in Christ. Because I said yes to you. Amen.
Thank you for joining us. We hope this message has blessed you. Don't forget to check us out on all the social platforms. We're uploading encouraging content on a regular basis. For more information, go to thearcchurch.com. Have a great week.